Ellen White has a vision of him holding a meeting on how to destroy the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And she writes down verbatim Satan's plan on how to destroy the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Point 1, 2, 3, 4, as he's discussing it with his evil angels. Isn't that important to us? I guarantee you every plan is being followed today. Every one of them is in operation, running full blast, and being defended by false shepherds in the organization. Plan number one, quoting Satan, Sister White quotes him, she says, quoting Satan, "We must exalt the Sabbath of our creating," Satan says. For Spirit of Prophecy, page 337. "We have caused it to be accepted by both worldlings and church members. Now, the church must be led to unite with the world in its support." Ah, plan number one. Satan wants to get the Seventh-day Adventist Church to unite with the world to support the false Sabbath. I wish we had a couple hours to spend on that alone. I guarantee you he's doing it. I wish I could drag out the evidence like I'm showing you here, because it is as involved to show you that he's doing it at the top levels of the church. I'll just give you a quote. Four Signs of the Times, page 77. She says, "If the church can be controlled by political enactments, if it can be led to unite with the world, men will dispense with the holy enactments of God, including the Sabbath." Four Signs of the Times, page 77. Of course, that's one of those books that went out of print. You won't find it written anywhere else. She sets down the conditions for which the church will throw away the Sabbath. Two conditions: unity with the world. One more condition: if we're controlled by political enactments. I wish we had an hour to spend how we're controlled by political enactments. Let me name a few. Government subsidies to our schools. Government subsidies to our hospitals and old folks' homes. Are those political enactments? Are we being controlled? What do you think Satan's going to do working through the government when he passes a Sunday law and he says, "Either you keep Sunday or we're taking away your government subsidies to your schools and hospitals"? Don't you think he's going to say that? You think he's going to give government subsidies to outlaws? Do you think we're being controlled by those government subsidies to keep our mouth shut on certain things? I guarantee you we are. I challenge you to read Gospel Workers, page 391, 392, 393, and see the truth on voting that's not being taught you because of those government subsidies. Says on page 392, "If you vote to put worldlings in office, Sunday keepers in office, you're held accountable for the sins they commit while in office." Do they teach you that? Or do they urge you to go out and vote? What would happen if they taught you the truth on voting? What would happen to their government subsidies? Gone, like that. I don't care if it's a Democrat or a Republican Party. If they found out that it was a denomination teaching the truth that we have on voting, they'd cut us off. So we remain silent on the voting truth. We don't tell the people, if you vote to put Sunday-keeping politicians in office, you're held accountable for the sins they commit while in office. Gospel Workers 392. We don't tell them that. If we quote those two pages, we put dots in. So the people are ignorant of the truth on voting. Now I'll give you one more. If we're controlled by political enactments, right? What's a tax exemption? Does the Seventh-day Adventist Church have tax exemption? For tithes and offerings? You read this book, The Two Republics by A.T. Jones, a founder, a pioneer of our church. You read page 297, and he'll show you in his chapter, A Union of Church and State, that tax exemption, a political enactment, was created by Constantine. It was the founding act of politics that started the Roman Catholic Church. That's how the Roman Catholic Church got founded, by tax-exempt law, created by Constantine. And we read Daniel 7:25, he shall think to change times and laws. And the only thing we talk about is the Sabbath commandment. But the word there for laws is the Hebrew word dath, D-A-T-H, and it means human and divine law. We don't fall for Constantine's Sunday law, but we fall for Constantine's political enactment, tax-exempt law, which is going to be used to force us into Sunday keeping. I'll give you an example of PTL. Not long ago, June of this year, they fell in disfavor with Caesar. What did Caesar do to their tax exemption? Canceled it retroactively, made them pay hundreds of thousands of dollars back taxes plus interest. Now I'm going to ask you a question. When the Sunday law is passed, are we going to fall in disfavor with Caesar if we choose Sabbath? What do you think Caesar's going to do with our Constantine tax exemption? That is nothing more than a union of church and state by definition. Read the definition of a union of church and state, Great Controversy, page 297. When we appeal to the state to build up the church, when we appeal to the secular power to support the gospel of him who declared, "My kingdom is not of this world," we formed a union of church and state. And what is a tax-exempt status if it's not an appeal to Caesar to build up the church? If it's not an appeal to secular power to build up the gospel, what is it if it's not a union of church and state? We are to have no unions of church and state. That is sin. First, it is sin. Second, it is a snare unto us. What do you think Satan's going to do when he says plan number 4 of his manifesto here against the Adventist Church? Keep the money in our own ranks. What do you think he's going to do when the Sunday law comes and we choose to keep Sabbath? He's going to say, "I see here you've been claiming tax exemptions for tithes and offerings. They're hereby revoked retroactively to, oh, let's say 20 years ago. Will that hurt enough? Plus interest. Now you have a choice. Pay me back taxes, keep Sunday, or go to jail. Your choice. How many people are going to pay the back taxes plus interest? How many people are going to stand faithful for God and go to jail? How many people are going to say, "Oh, but God wouldn't have me go to jail. How could I do his work then? I'll just keep Sunday too." Do you see how Constantine's tax-exempt law is going to be used to force Adventists into Sunday keeping? Is this new light? No. 1890, The Two Republics by A.T. Jones, published by the Review and Herald Publishing Corporation, 1891. Read, beginning on page 279, the Union of Church and State. Read it. Now do you see there's a little more meaning in the Daniel 7:25, he shall think to change times and laws? Not only divine law, but human law, the tax-exempt law. Do we ever talk about that? No. Now, come full circle again. If the church is controlled by political enactments, if it can be led to unite with the world, men will dispense with the holy enactments of God concerning the Sabbath. Do you now see how the church could lead you into Sunday keeping? Just as Caiaphas and Annas led Christ out to Golgotha and crucified him? Do you see how difficult the test was then? It's not changed any, you know. The people in their day were following false leaders, and they followed them all the way to Golgotha. Who are the people following today? And they're going to Golgotha again, brothers and sisters. And it's just as hard to get them to put the brakes on as it would have been if you were at the first coming of Christ, trying to tell them then that the General Conference President was going to murder the Son of God, and he was going to do it knowing he was the Son of God. Okay? Plan number 1, get them to unite with the world and keep the false Sabbath. He's done it. That's only plan number 1. There's 5 plans here. Read it, huh? Plan number 2, we must work by signs and wonders and blind their eyes. 4 Spirit of Prophecy, page 338. Satan says, We must work by signs and wonders and blind their eyes to the truth and lead them to lay aside reason and fear of God and follow custom and tradition. He wants us to follow custom and tradition. How did he go about doing it? He brought in false education. And what's the penalty for a false system of memorization? He is easily led to follow tradition and custom. Education, page 230. Do you see it? Satan says he's going to get us in custom and tradition. He brings in false education to do it. And what are our leadership doing about it? Where do they stand today? With McLaren?
We've always done it that way.
We've always done it that way. Yes. They have excuses, don't they? Oh, I cannot express upon you more the danger and the snare we've fallen into. Plan number three of Satan. Four Spirit of Prophecy, page 338. The people accept their minister's explanation of Scripture and do not investigate for themselves. Therefore, by working through the ministers, I can control the people according to my will. Is he doing it? How did he do it? Education. A false system of memory does what for us? The mind thus burdened with that which it cannot digest and assimilate is weakened. It becomes incapable of self-reliant effort and is content to depend on the judgment and perception of others. That's how he did it. False system of education to get us to follow false ministers. That's how he did it. That's why I say to you, education is the root of our problems. Plan number four, we will enlist great men and worldly wise men upon our side and induce those in authority to carry out our purposes. Has he done it? Each one of these take an hour. He's done it. Plan number five, keep the money in our own ranks. If Satan says he wants to keep the money in our own ranks, then what is Satan doing giving Christians tax-exempt status? Huh? Huh? Does that make any sense to you? If Caesar says, and Satan's working through Caesar, isn't he? Keep the money in our own ranks, then don't you find it a snare and a contradiction to be able to claim tax exemption for tithes and offerings to God's true work? Isn't Satan going to keep the money in his own ranks just like he said? Oh, yes. But he's going to demand payday all at once. When the Sunday law comes, he's going to say, pay me back taxes plus interest, or go to jail, or keep Sunday. You choose. That's what he's going to say. Are you being warned about it? Are you being told that tax-exempt status for tithes and offerings, when you claim a tax-exempt status for tithe and offering, that is sin? Great Controversy 297. Number two, it will create so much trouble for you when the Sunday law comes, you will wish you never did it if you plan on keeping the Sabbath. Are you being told about that? No. I urge you to stop claiming tax exemptions for those things. I urge you to repent of those things. And I urge you to realize the root of the problem is in one word, education. And we've been warned. Satan said he was going to do these things to us. We have the method by which he did it. And what we're dealing with here is the cover-up. Now do you see a little more why? And we're getting into some of this a little more. Let's go on, look at this one quote, and then let's take a break at this one change here, and then let's take a break for lunch. And then you can decide whether you want to continue this afternoon or we'll continue the topic next week. We're going to continue the topic of education and the cover-up, and we're going to put out the truth on education until we're done. But let me show you this one thing here first. You notice what Sister White says then in the original manuscript, page 34. How did she feel? She said, "You have yourselves thrown open the doors for Satan to come in." That's talking about bringing McLaren in, making him president. "You have given him an honored place at your investigation." That's talking about making Professor McLaren president, honored position of Battle Creek College, or Inquisition meetings. "But you have shown no respect for the excellencies of character established by years of faithfulness. Who's she referring to there? Brother Bell. Read the whole thing and you'll see that I'm telling you the truth. She's upset because they brought Satan in. They have an educational system that has naught of Christ. Why? Look what it does to you spiritually. Makes you incapable of distinguishing between truth and error. Makes you easily led into custom and tradition. Makes you not able to rely on your own perception, but ask for the judgment of others. Oh, all of that. I'm as indignant as she is. But then I'm really indignant when I see what they did covering it up. And then when I see that they know the truth, testimonies to ministers, just like in the days of Christ, we know this man be the Son of God, but it is better that he should die than the whole nation should perish. So they murdered him, Desire of Ages says in five different places. They are murdering him again, and they know the truth. When you murder the truth, when you do this, you're putting Christ on Calvary all over again. Now let's go on. Let's go to the bottom here. Notice though, all these yous, you have yourselves. Who are these yous referring to? This is referring to the brethren at Battle Creek. It's page 34. This corresponds with 5T57 and 58. Here's page 57. My brethren at Battle Creek, what account will you render at the bar of God? Great light has come to you, you. And then she says, you have yourselves thrown open the doors for Satan to come in. Who's the yous? Brethren at Battle Creek. I want you to see that, who those yous are in this paragraph. That's important. File that away for a second. Now let's go on to the bottom of the page, that same paragraph. Notice this sentence. The time has not yet come for this satanic spell to lose its power. I ask you by life experience, has the time come for this satanic spell of false education to lose its power? No. And also, keep in mind, she's also writing in this testimony about the death of her husband and the persecution of the church in killing her husband. We talked about that last week. Has this satanic spell lost its power? No. You will be censored, disfellowshipped, fired, and they will bring out every manner of insult to keep people from listening to you. I commend you for coming here today. I have no idea what slander you've heard about me personally to keep you from coming here. But I know that there's a vast array of it out here, and I know it emanates from Brookfield, from the conference office here, much of it. But I know this too. The truth has grown. 5 years ago, when they fired me for preaching the truth in this Adventist church in Illinois, and they said, you will blow away like the dust. 5 years ago. Now the truth is going to 50 states and 8 foreign countries, and it comes out of this basement, out of support from people like you. You can't kill the truth. You can't do anything against the truth, only for the truth. God has shown me that so much. But notice this. The time has not yet come for this satanic spell to lose its power, she said. Now, let me show you the fifth testimonies. Well, I got a blow up one here. Here's fifth testimonies, page 58. The time has not yet come for this satanic spell to lose its power has been changed in 5th Testimonies 58. Notice what it says there. The time has come for this satanic spell to lose its power. Notice what they did. They took out the not yet. You see how they're expunging everything from the blame of having false education and the death of James White? They're still killing people like James White. Think of that the next time you hear Daniel 7:25. And he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Brothers and sisters, the church martyred the prophet's husband. And they're martyring people right down the line through the ages that hold the truth out to you like this. Now, notice, do you see that? Do you see any dots there between the has and the come? They just dropped out the word not yet. Is that, let me ask you, is there a difference between the time has not yet come for this satanic spell to lose its power and the time has come for this satanic spell to lose its power? Did Ellen White write both of these? That's impossible. It's either one or the other. You see? And I think of 5T, page 19. I take back nothing. I soften nothing. And then I think of Jeremiah 36. And then I think of Sister White saying in 4 Bible Commentary 1159, this is a record of Jeremiah 36. This is a record. This is a history that will be repeated. And the king took out his little penknife and he cut out those things that he didn't like. You see? Now the question is, where does this come from? Fifth Testimonies, page 58, continues on and it says, after the word power, it says, if Brother Blank were all that you represent him to be, which I know he is not, your course would still be unjustifiable. When we listen, and it goes on. But that's not what it says after power in your original. In your original, it says on page 35, your course has caused Brother Bell the keenest suffering. You see it? Where did this sentence come from? In Fifth Testimonies, page 58, it's not in the original. Keep it. We're looking for it now. We're searching. Then it drops down to when we listen. You see, they left out this whole paragraph here. They left it out after power. They put in another sentence, which we don't know where it comes from yet. They put in another sentence, and then they continued on. But they left out this paragraph. And this sentence here, if Brother Blank were all you represent him to be, and on Fifth Testimonies, page 58, is not in this paragraph that was deleted. That's found in original manuscript, page 35. You see it? Okay, good. I just want you to see it because this is really a hocus pocus. I'm not going to read through all this with you. Just give you an idea of some of the things. In drawing out testimony from students and leading them to betray Brother Bell's confidence, you've shown what you would do to Christ. You have wronged and insulted your Savior in the person of his servant. You see the position she stood with Brother Bell? If you don't think that the Adventist Church today would hang Christ upon the cross, do you think they would? If Christ could come to the Rockford Church today and walk in the church, what do you think the people would do to him? Starting from the preacher on down. What do you think he would do if he went to the GC or any other church in our conference? What do you think they'd do? Read Early Writings, page 108 and 109. It'll tell you what they'd do. She talks about many there who bear the name of Adventists and study more to decorate their bodies than to be accepted by Christ. Is that what your local churches are doing? Our local churches are doing? Yes. They bear the name Adventists, aren't they? But they're studying more to decorate their bodies than to be accepted by Christ. They decorate their bodies with makeup and jewelry, false dress, unchristian dress, and degrees. They decorate their bodies, M.A., Ph.D., Ph.D. That's a decoration they wear at the end of their name. They decorate their bodies with those things. They would kill Christ, Sister White says, page 109. She says, if Christ came among those many who bear the name of Adventists, they would be among the first to raise the cry, crucify him, crucify him. 108 and 109. Things have not changed. This satanic spell has not yet lost its power. But where did they get this sentence? go on in your manuscript to the next page, page 36. Original manuscript, page 36. You notice after the word church, there's a whole paragraph that's deleted. I circled the things for you that are deleted in the manuscript. That's my circling, my writing, to try to help you save time as you put it in your current edition of 5T. Notice in the 5T, page 59, we have the sentence, there are some who point to others' faults and failures to divert attention from their own and to gain credit for great zeal for God and the church. And then it goes, for a few weeks since. Notice after church, this is left out. I would admonish Brother Wales. See? After the word church, this is left out. And you don't see this sentence until, you don't see the words, a few weeks since I was in a dream. You don't see that until original manuscript, page 37, the next page. All of this was left out. I'm not going to read this whole paragraph. I want to read this one. We just don't have time. But I'm going to show you here where they got their that sentence. Professor Miller has cherished bitter envy and hatred against Brother Bell. My brother, if there is anyone laboring in the college who is deficient in spiritual attainments, it is yourself. See, Professor Miller stood with McLaren and Uriah Smith and the GC, and he was against Bell. And look what she's saying here. They dropped it out. Christ has nothing to do with the course you have pursued. Others have united with you and have been influenced by you. May the Lord pity them and you. Notice now, if Professor Bell were all that you represent him to be, which I know he is not, your course would still be unjustifiable. Ah, we found it. The missing sentence. That's the sentence they stuck over there at the end of power. You see it? They took a sentence that applied to who? Professor Miller. And they took it and they stuck it over on the end of power at the end of a paragraph where all the U's apply to who? The brethren at Battle Creek. Can you do that? That's what you call taking something out of context. Did Sister White do that? Is that a grammatical change? Some people say, how do you know that she didn't approve of these things? You know, I'll have scoffers that come and sit when I've tried to present this. And they won't listen. They'll get up and leave before you can even develop it. And they'll say, how do you know she changed these things? I'll say, please just be patient. Just look and watch the evidence and you'll see, I think, for yourself. You can see, can't you? Let's see here. Let me see if I can backtrack. Yeah, slides would be really nice. Someday, maybe. Your original manuscript, page 34, the time has not yet come for the satanic spell to lose its power. And they changed it. 5T, page 58, the time has come for this satanic spell to lose its power. Then they dropped a paragraph and continued on. Then they dropped two more paragraphs, took the last sentence off this paragraph, and moved it over here to power. That's where they put it. It should come in a paragraph after the word church on 5T 59. This sentence applies to Professor Miller, and they moved it over to a paragraph that's about the brethren, the leadership at Battle Creek, thereby taking it out of context. They repositioned it. But you try to figure that out if you don't have the original manuscript. You try to figure out what's going on. Now you have it. Jeremiah 36, God said, and he restored the writings that Jehoiakim the king had destroyed with his penknife. God is restoring it to you. He's giving it to you. I want to take a break here. Let's kneel for prayer.